Hi, this is Pastor Rick Warren, and I can't wait to see what God's going to do through Daily Hope in this coming new year. Thank you so much for your support. I love you. I'm praying for you. I thank God for you. I appreciate you more than words can say. Have a happy new year.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Transformed. In these lessons, Rick uncovers key principles found in God's Word that will completely transform our lives from the inside out in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. Now, if you can improve in any of these areas I just mentioned, stay with us. Because in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how you can have your very own transformed study kit from Pastor Rick, which includes a 7-session DVD and workbook. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part 3 of a message called From Stressed to Blessed.
Let me give you a second suggestion. Start the day with God, not the media. Before you read any text message, before you check your email, before you turn on the radio to some talk radio, people screaming at each other, before you turn on the television for some morning show, you need to get in touch with God first. The first 7 minutes of your day set your mood every day. So do you want to start it with an alarm clock and then the worst news of the day coming at you? No. You don't really need to know all the bad news first thing when you get up. You don't need to know that. You need to turn on some praise music, some worship music. You need to get in touch with God. You need to let the first 5-10 minutes of your day be with the Lord. And that'll dramatically reduce your stress and improve your mood. Another suggestion, number 3, intentionally put beauty around you. Whether it's pieces of art or music that inspires you or something, a craft, I used to collect seashells, and I collected them from all over the world. And I did it, and I had my library filled with them because looking at those things simply inspired me. I go, wow, the intricacy of that nautilus, how God inspired that. Looking at beauty lowers your stress level. Listening to beauty lowers your stress level. So I highly recommend that you either take up an instrument or some kind of art or craft to create beauty. You are most like your creator when you're being creative. And so you need art in your life. You need beauty in your life. You know, by the way, art and music are two of the greatest arguments against evolution. Why? Because they're totally unnecessary for human survival. And if the whole survival of the fittest really works, then why in the world do we have music and art in the world? Because you're more than a body. And God made you for worship. Did you know more songs have been written about Jesus than any other subject in human history? Did you know more books have been written about Jesus than in any other subject in human history? Do you know that more art has been created about the Bible and to honor and glorify God and Jesus than any other subject in history? Why? God gave us music and God gave us art for one reason, to express emotion. That's the only purpose of it. You don't need it for physical survival, but you do need it to really live, to be who God made you to be. So fill your life with art and fill your life with music. You know, when I get stressed out, I go home, I pick up a guitar, I start playing a guitar. I sit on the piano, bang on the piano. A ukulele, doesn't matter. Kazoo, you know, whatever. Just combing paper. It's like last week, you said, make a joyful noise. It doesn't have to be pretty, just make a joyful noise. Philippians 4:8 says this, you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true and noble and reputable and authentic and compelling and gracious. It sounds like television, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. That is not television. Okay. You'll do best by filling your mind with things that are true and noble and authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Now, because of sin, there's a lot of ugliness in the world. There are a lot of unpleasant things in the world. Whatever you give your attention to is going to either raise or lower your stress. Some of you, during 50 days transformation, you need to do a fast on the news. I hate to tell you this, but you could miss the news for the next 50 days and it's going to make one difference in the world. If you read the newspaper one day later, you'd realize how much news really isn't news. The media is tuned to make you think stuff's important that isn't that important. Has no bearing on your life. And if you used all the time that you spend listening to news or watching news or reading news and instead spent that listening to God, reading His Word, listening to worship songs, your stress would be dramatically lower. It's your choice. Now, if you want to stay stressed out, keep watching local news, because if it bleeds, it leads on the local news. In other words, if there's a crime that happened anywhere within distance, it's going to be reported on the news. Is that really what you want to hear? Is that what you really need? Is that going to make you a better woman, a better man? No. So I recharge my soul with beauty. He makes me lay down in green meadows and calm waters, beside calm waters. Number four, the fourth thing we have is go to God for guidance. Go to God for guidance. Now, this is important because a common source of stress in your life is indecision. You can't make up your mind. Some of you right now are wavering. You're at the fork in the road, or maybe you've got multiple options, and you just can't decide, and the stress is killing you. You can't decide whether to get in or get out or do neither. You got too many choices. I recommend that you make God the number one source for guidance, not the opinions of your friends, not some pundit on television, but that you go to God for guidance, because He always tells you the truth. So what do? I say, God, I need wisdom. And in James chapter 1, it says this: if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't condemn them or criticize them. He gives it generously and graciously. God is waiting to give you wisdom. You just have to ask. So you say, God, I need wisdom. And I pray and I ask. Then I read the Bible, I read this book, and then I wait and I think and I be quiet and I listen and I sense. And at the right time, maybe not immediately, at the right time, God will put that idea in my mind and he'll go, wow, that's an inspiration. That's what I need to do. I want you to write this down. Write this affirmation down. It's an affirmation. God will guide me at the right time. God will guide me at the right time. Not at the wrong time, and His timing is perfect. He's never early, He's never late. If you have to make a decision about next year, He's not going to give you the answer today, because He wants you to trust Him. The Bible says, there's enough trouble in each day, take one day at a time. So God's going to give you the right decision and the right guidance if you'll trust Him, but He'll do it at the right time. Psalm 23, verse 3 says this: He guides me in the right paths for His name's sake. That's an affirmation. God, I believe you're going to guide me at the right time in the right way. I believe you're going to do that. And if you have that belief, He's going to do it. Number five, I trust God in the dark valleys. I trust God in the dark valleys. Now, we're all going to go through dark valleys in our lives. You'll go through many of them in your lifetime. One of the fifth common sources of stress is loss. And you can lose your job, and you could lose your income, and you can lose your money, you could lose your health, you could lose your reputation, you could lose a loved one. We all go through many losses in life. And when you go through loss, there are always two common reactions. One is fear and the other is grief. Now, grief is good, fear is bad. When we did a series of seven messages on grief last year, and remember I said grief is the way we get through the transitions of life. Grief is a good thing. The Bible says God grieves. It's a godly emotion. In fact, if you don't grieve, you get stuck. Some of you have had a major loss in your life in the past, and you just shoved it down. You stuffed it instead of grieving. And when you stuff it, you get stuck at that stage emotionally. And you've never gone any further because you didn't go through the grief. You got stuck. And you maybe need to go back and grieve some things in your life you've never grieved over, so you get unstuck because you got unstuffed. Stop pushing the pain down. Just grieve it. Let it out. It's not going to kill you. Grief will not kill you. You let it out. It's good for you. It's how you go through the transitions of life. And then you get unstuck and you can move on and you can grow up emotionally. Grief's a good thing. On the other hand, fear is a bad thing. Not once in the Bible does it say, grieve not, sorrow not, weep not, cry not. What it does say is, fear not. And it says that 365 times, which means there's one for every day of the year. Because grief doesn't paralyze, fear does. Fear does. Psalm 23, verse 4, here's what David says. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I don't fear anything. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff comfort me. Now remember, he's using this shepherd metaphor, a shepherd with a sheep. Shepherds always carried a rod and a staff. These are the two tools that you use to protect the sheep, to ward off wolves and to protect the sheep. He says, I'm not going to stress out about this because God is my protector. God is helping me. And I'm going to trust God in the dark valleys. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Some of you are going through the valley of the shadow right now. Maybe the valley of the shadow of death. It may be the valley of the shadow of debt. It may be the valley of the shadow of conflict. It may be the valley of shadow of depression. It may be the valley of the shadow of discouragement, but you're going through the valley of the shadow. Now, shadows are scary. Remember how you used to get afraid of shadows when you were laying in bed as a little kid? Some of the things, though, I've learned about shadows are this. Shadows can't hurt you. They can't hurt you. A truck can run over you, that hurts you. But if a truck shadow runs over you, it doesn't hurt you. Shadow can't hurt you. Shadows are always bigger than the source. Isn't that true? It's your fear of that greater than the actual event. Shadows are always bigger than the source because it makes them look bigger than they really are. But here's the good news. Wherever there's a shadow, there's a light. You can't have a shadow without a light. And so the key of when you're going through the valley of the shadow and to not be afraid is to turn your back on the shadow and look at the light. Because as long as I keep my eyes on the light, the shadow can't scare me. And Jesus is the light of the world. That's how you go through the valley of the shadow of death. That's how you lower the stress. I trust God in the dark valleys. Maybe you're going through that right now. You need to pray like David, Psalm 142, verse 3. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. When I'm ready to give up, he knows what I should do. I want you to write this down in your outline. I don't have to know the answers when I know God. I don't have to know all the answers about what I'm going through if I know God, because he knows what I should do. And I'm going to turn my back on the shadow, and I'm going to look at the light, and I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow. I'm going to trust God in the dark valleys. That'll reduce the stress of loss. Number 6. In the next verse of Psalm 23, David says, I'm going to let God be my defender. Let God be my defender. Now, another common source of stress is conflict, opposition, criticism, attacks. And there are people in your life who simply don't like you. There are people you work with, they criticize you, maybe out of jealousy, maybe out of fear, but there are maybe there are people in your life, in your own family. Maybe there's a family member who will not let you enjoy anything. They just are always ragging on you. They're always putting you down. They never have a positive word. If you have any success, they downplay it. They minimize it. And you've had these people in your life, and they're always attacking you, and they're always putting you down, and they're always criticizing you. And when that happens, your natural response is what? Attack back. Criticize back. Retaliate. Get even. But when you get even with somebody who's criticizing you, it puts you on the same level. Now, if you forgive them, it puts you above them. But if you get even, you're no better than they are. Now, because of the pluralization in our society, we have people around us all the time who totally disagree with us. People live with around you and work around you who don't agree with you and don't like you and maybe don't even like Jesus. And as a result, they will criticize you and they will put you down. And there are other reasons too, not just because of that. But in our society today, our civilization is losing its civility. The world is getting more rude. Would you agree with that? And one of the things that's causing that is the internet. Because the internet allows you to hide behind, anonymously behind a screen and spout all kinds of vile things against other people. And things that people would never say to you face to face, they wouldn't have the courage to say, they'll spout off and they will minimize you and belittle you and they'll be rude to you and they'll criticize you and they will attack you on the internet. All they are doing is revealing the smallness of their heart. Little people belittle people. Little people belittle people. Great people make people feel great. So when somebody's always belittling other people, they are just revealing the smallness of their heart, that they have a little knot for a heart. And they have to belittle others thinking that's going to make them feel better. How do you handle rude people? How do you handle mean people? You don't. You let God handle them. You let God be your defender.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, you know, the world is shouting for our attention with answers to our relationship struggles, solutions to our financial troubles, and explanations to our search for meaning. But the world's promises leave us empty and searching for more. God's Word contains the only answers that promise to transform your life from the inside out. That's why Pastor Rick has put together the Transformed Study Kit, which includes a vegan leather-bound interactive workbook and a 7-video session DVD. These video sessions can be used independently or with a small group of friends. This kit will help uncover key biblical principles that will completely transform your life in every area, including spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, financial, and vocational. We'll send you the Transformed Study Kit as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. To get your copy of this great resource, go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
Here's a letter from Catherine, a listener who says that hearing the truth of the Bible on Daily Hope transformed her life. She wrote me this. She said, Pastor Rick, a few months ago, I was angry all the time about everything. My husband was drinking too much, and my marriage was headed for divorce. Years ago, I'd forgotten about my faith. But one day, on my long drive home from work,
I changed the station from my angry music and I found you speaking on Daily Hope on the radio. You know, it was as if through you, Jesus said, oh, you're finally listening and I have something to tell you. Well, your message spoke directly to me, to my problems and to my many failures. And you spoke some hard truths, Pastor Rick, that I needed to hear about the things that I was doing wrong and the things that I wasn't doing at all. But it made me look at myself, and I realized that I had forgotten about Jesus. And I was making myself miserable, trying to do everything on my own. I wasn't trusting in God or seeking God or even a relationship with Jesus. But a few days later, after a lot of inward reflection, I shared your words with my husband. You know what? We're now both reading our Bibles again. We're going to church again. We're mending our relationship with each other and with Christ, our Savior. And it is your Daily Hope program that changed our lives and the direction of our lives. Now I'm listening to you on my way home from work every day. So thanks for allowing yourself to be a vessel through which God can work to restore lives and marriages. I was hopeless, but now I'm full of hope and full of joy through my faith in Jesus. So God bless you, Rick, for bringing me back to God. Friends, you may have heard me say this before, that I am addicted to change lives. I am passionate about watching God at work in your life and giving people hope when everything else seems hopeless. It's why we do what we do. Catherine and her husband have now mended their relationship and they're both reading their Bibles. That is incredible news. The family that prays together stays together. None of this, by the way, would be possible without your support of Daily Hope. It is your gifts, your financial gifts, and your prayers that allow me to teach millions of people every day all around the world about the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, as you just heard, people are being saved, lives are being changed, marriages are being restored, people are finding hope. Why? Because of you and your financial gifts and your prayers. So thank you, everybody, for your caring about others and their relationship with God. And if you can send a gift today, please do so. We want to reach more and more people with the hope of God's Word. You know, if God is blessing you through Daily Hope, would you share your story with me? Write me, rick@pastorrick.com.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.